Our New Testament lesson today comes from Mark's Gospel. It's a reading from the 10th chapter, verses 46 to 52. Listen today for God's Word. And then they came to Jericho, and Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho when Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still, and he said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, Bartimaeus regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. May God bless the reading and the hearing of God's Word, that it will guide us in our own journeys and walks on the way of life. Amen. Today's worship service is intended to highlight some of the unique qualities from each of the worship services offered here at ELPC. Now, many churches are only able to offer one service on Sunday morning, sort of a one-size-fits-all model. Some other churches offer two services, one being perhaps more contemporary and one a bit more traditional in their liturgy. For various reasons, we are able to offer six different worship services. I'm not boasting, though, about this fact. If people are possessive or competitive about their particular service, then having six worship services would be more of a liability than an asset. So hopefully all members and friends of our congregation have attended different worship services that we offer and see the variety as simply a way to express the diversity and the breadth inherent in every expression of God's creative spirit. At ELPC, we like to stress that this is a congregation where everyone is welcome. Now, that's not a particularly novel idea. Churches all across America have emblazoned on their signboards in the front yards, "Everyone welcome, visitors welcome." But not every church, including ours, truly acts as if visitors and guests are welcome. And that's part of the challenging message that's contained in today's passage about blind Bartimaeus. Now, as a blind man in biblical times, your career options are pretty limited. The loss of eyesight was generally seen as a punishment from God. At the very least, it gave everyone an excellent excuse to keep their distance. So Bartimaeus begged. He sat near the gate where people would pass as they were leaving Jericho. Now, why there? Well, the people arriving into the city were anxious to meet their friends and go about their business. They had little time to listen to the cries and the needs of others. But as they were leaving, hopefully they had packed their bags with food and provisions for the road, and maybe sold some goods so that their purses had coins and perhaps a few to spare within them. So at that point, Bartimaeus would spread out his cloak, and he would ask for mercy. He would hope they would toss onto his tattered garment maybe an extra coin, maybe a crust of bread, before they went down the dusty Jericho road home. Now, on this day, Jesus and his entire entourage are leaving the city, and Bartimaeus begins to shout loudly. Being blind, you have no way of telling if people are looking at you or even coming your way, so you have to shout extra loud in order to guarantee that you're getting their attention. And Bartimaeus had no one to advocate for him. He had no friend or patron, someone that could stand in the traffic, as it were, and direct people's attention to the poor man by the side of the road who could benefit from an act of mercy. As a parenthetical comment, how often today is that still the case? How often, despite anti-discrimination and anti-racism laws, so many people never quite get into the flow of traffic, never quite get that job interview, the apprenticeship or the internship, the club membership, the board invitation, because they simply lack the connections, the patrons among the power class. There are many, many Bartimaeuses even today. So as Jesus was leaving Jericho, he's surrounded by his disciples and his followers, and Bartimaeus begins shouting loudly to get his attention, vocally intruding into his space. It was an awkward social moment. When I served a church in Wisconsin, there was a big-boned woman named Barbara who used to come by regularly. And she was always on the brink of a total crisis, always needing just a few bucks, or maybe more than a few bucks, to tide her over. I heard her stories, and I often gave her cash. And despite sworn oaths of rapid repayment, the debts were never repaid. And so over time and over the years, I stopped giving Barbara cash, but I'd give her food and help her if I could, and offer at least a listening ear. One day Barbara came in with another hard luck story, and she was getting all worked up, talking about how hungry she was. There was no food in the house, how she hadn't eaten in such a long time, and that she was so hungry, why, I looked like a giant chicken drumstick to her, and she could just eat me right up. So what could I do? I ran for my life and quickly got a bag of food from our little church pantry downstairs. Now back to the gospel story. How many people were heading out of Jericho that day? Were many. How many were healed? Well, the easy answer is one, Bartimaeus. But I would argue that actually many, many more were healed on that day by Christ. It was not always easy to get to Jesus. Remember when the crowds were so thick around him that we're told some friends carried a paralyzed man on a cot to the roof of the house where they tore a hole and lowered him down in front of Christ. Or remember the time when the Syrophoenician woman wanted healing for her young daughter, but Jesus' disciples stood around him and whispered to him, "Send the woman away because she is shouting and disturbing us." Or when the people brought the children to be blessed by Jesus, but again the disciples spoke sternly to them and would keep them at arm's length. On that day long ago, the biggest impediment facing Bartimaeus was not his blindness, but rather the blindness of the crowd who shouted at him to be quiet and to leave Jesus alone. So Jesus had to do two acts of healing. Before Bartimaeus' eyes were healed, Jesus had to turn to his disciples and those following him and talk to them directly. And he said to them, you call him here. And suddenly their eyes were opened. The beggar they had tried to intimidate became someone they now encouraged and invited. Take heart, be of good cheer, come, he is calling you. Rudeness and fear had changed now to at least a pious hospitality. The unwanted visitor had become the invited guest. In all of our lives, there are people who, if we're honest, whom we avoid. People who don't fit into our immediate circle of friends. The outsiders, the strangers who make inappropriate requests. And what is true of us as individuals is true of every institution of our lives. Our businesses, our social clubs, and our churches. Yes, especially our churches. Because every institution establishes rules and builds up structures, not so much for the benefit of those inside, but to serve as a barrier that will help keep others out. And we use a lot of names to describe the process. Quotas, membership requirements, dues, fees, visas, minimum educational standards, Jim Crow laws, apartheid, separate but equal, all those things that fall in the convenient rubric of, that's just the way we do things around here. Bartimaeuses still stand outside our churches, our city halls, our courtrooms, our Fortune 500 companies, and they shout today, "Have mercy on me." Now why? Why should we? It's a fair question to ask ourselves, given the fact that we've expended so much energy to sometimes soundproof us and our institutions to these cries of need. Bartimaeus said on that day, "Have mercy on me," which was a cry of need. But the word he used is one that in the Greek Bible is used to translate the older Hebrew word, hesed. One of those wonderful words that means God's justice, God's loving kindness. Bartimaeus is not looking for a handout. He's not looking for a coin or bread. He's looking for hesed, for justice, for a bit of God's kingdom to be made real right here on earth. Because God's kingdom wasn't in the immediate perimeter around Jesus, including the insiders and followers. God's kingdom was there waiting to be manifest in that space between Jesus and the crowd, the church, the community, and that blind beggar shouting from the side of the road. I don't believe I've ever told this story before, but one day back in Wisconsin, Barbara visited the church again with another anxious request. Her landlord had filed an eviction notice against her, hoping to kick her out of her apartment. And since he lived in the next county and he knew that Barbara couldn't drive, he filed his case in this other town of Burlington, hoping Barbara would not be able to show up, be cited for contempt, and removed from her apartment. Barbara was righteously upset and asked me to drive her the 15 miles to the city of Burlington. And to do it that day, in fact, we probably needed to leave 10 minutes ago. Now, I'm no saint, but I agreed to help Barbara, but I wasn't in the best mood about it all. And as we drove outside the city limits and headed in the countryside on our way to Burlington, Barbara's normal diatribe in the car, railing against the landlord, changed. And suddenly, she began commenting on the cows and the cornfield and how green everything looked. How she hadn't seen the countryside for years. And I realized that for Barbara, she probably never got to go just on a ride in the country. That her life was spent surviving in an often hostile world, banging on doors, cajoling and shouting and pleading for people to give her handouts. And she was no saint either, but she was a child of God. And when she commented on the cows and the corn and the blue skies, I suddenly, for the first time, could see them as well, even though I'd been driving right through them for 20 minutes. And so Barbara and I had a nice drive to Burlington. And she healed my vision that day. Bartimaeus knew what he wanted, and no naysayers and bouncers and social bullies were going to shut him up or shut him down. He stood beside Jesus and said, "Rabboni, my teacher, let me see again." Having opened the eyes of the crowd, now Jesus could turn and open the eyes of Bartimaeus. And Scripture says immediately he regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. We each travel well-worn paths every day of our lives. We will toil within institutional walls at work. We will live in structures of privacy in our own neighborhoods. We will worship according to our own comfort and our own needs and schedules, choosing what fits best most Sundays. Where we work, where we live, where we shop, where we worship always can run the risk of being a place of exclusion, which is why Jesus talks to us through the story of Bartimaeus today. So remember this. Houses of worship are not defined by what is walled in, but rather by the doors that allow people to come in and go out and freely be children of God and made whole. And that's true in your own life as well. We each close our eyes in prayer. We read Scripture. We imagine in our mind's eye who Christ was and is, and we picture His face before us. And it's right to do so. But if you want to see, to truly see, and to see Christ, it's there in that border zone of your life, on that threshold between what is outside and in, what has been rejected and what is accepted, and what has been dismissed and barred and what is welcomed. So stand in those spaces for a while this week. And look around, and you'll be amazed. No, you'll be healed and made whole by what you can see. Thanks be to God. Amen.
In most of our services at East Liberty Presbyterian Church, when we enter into a time of prayer as a family of faith, we invite our brothers and sisters to lift their voices and share out loud those joys or concerns which reside on their hearts, that we might enter into a community who not only greets one another, but a community who looks one another in the eyes and knows those concerns and joys that we each bring to our community of faith together. Now, in a setting like this, that type of sharing is still a challenge. But join with me on our prayer journey this morning, where I will lift before God areas of concern or areas in which we may have a cause to celebrate. And I will pause for a time of silence. And in that silence, I invite you to lift your voices, to share a word or a phrase before God. It's okay if more of you talk at one time than just one at a time. God hears all of our prayers. It's okay if there's an uncomfortable silence. Let the Spirit enter into that silence and listen to God's invitation to you in that time. So, brothers and sisters, let us pray. God of love, indeed, we thank you for calling us here together, for your call on our lives and on our hearts, that you have called us your own. We thank you that we are united in the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we are brothers and sisters who sit side by side in worship of you this morning. And so hear our prayers, God of love. Hear the prayers of this, your family, who gather before you today. You know the needs of our hearts before we even utter a word. But draw us closer together in this time, that we might not only come before you in prayer, but that we might stand with one another as we share our joys and our concerns with you this day. And so, loving God, we give you thanks for the world that you have made and for all who are in it. Yet we know that there is brokenness in this world. And so hear now our prayers of joy and our concerns for this, your world. Loving God, you hear our prayers for others. You hear our prayers for this, the world you have made. You hear our prayers for those we love. We also lift before you our own needs today, remembering especially those within our community who are grieving today. We ask for your comfort and your peace to be with the family of Emma Johnson on the loss of her beloved cousin, and with the family and friends of Bob Hoon and Linda Yennerall, whose lives we celebrated here at this church this week. So hear now our prayers for ourselves. May we lay our burdens and celebrate our joys before you now. God of love, we thank you. We thank you for hearing our prayers, those which we have spoken today, and those which remain on our hearts. We thank you that you are a God of welcome, whose radical hospitality made known to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, has not only called us here, but has shown us mercy, forgiveness, and given us a cause to hope today. And so we lift before you all of our prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.